You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. A lot of cards and letters coming in, particularly on my birthday. Matthew, who was on yesterday's broadcast, I believe, says, thanks to Hank for answering my question on Josephus. It was a great bit of insight for me. Karen, thank you for standing for truth. Truly, you hear the shepherd's voice. Eric, happy birthday. Hank, Helena, I listened to the Bible Answer Man broadcast 7 p.m. in Canada. I heard you say that it was your birthday today. Happy birthday. I wish you well and God's blessing. And I'm praying for you. Every time someone says they're praying for me, it touches me deeply. Paula, a birthday wish for the sole most influential person in my life. Without Hank's guidance, my soul would still have been lost. My awesome love for Christ was brought back by 20 years of listening to Hank every day. I hope you have a wonderful birthday surrounded by the love of your beautiful Kathy and family, and most importantly, by God, who loves his faithful servant, I am certain. And I did have a wonderful time last night surrounded by my wife and kids. It was a busy day. I had a blood draw, so I had to go to the Cancer Institute. I did a podcast, a broadcast. I wrote an op-ed piece for a newspaper, and then went home at 7 o'clock, and I had a blast. I mean, I stayed up till midnight. I wanted to stay up for the entirety of my birthday. My son David cooked me meatloaf. It was the best meatloaf I've ever eaten, and everybody contributed some kind of a dish. I had a lime green cake, because lime green corresponds to the lymphoma that I have. And then on top of it, I had key lime pie. So I did all the things I wasn't supposed to do, but I did them on my birthday. But the greatest thing was just sitting around outside with my wife and kids and, listening to their comments and seeing the bond that we have as we tackle my lymphoma as a family.
Yeah, and we sat around and read letters to you, and so we're going to share some of these today. I'll start out with Faith, who wasn't there, but sent a very beautiful text. She actually hurt her finger over the weekend, which we had to help her with. But she says, there are so many times where I see you in me, and I'm so proud of those parts of me, because so often those parts are the parts of me that have brought me success and happiness. You are an amazing man whom I can only wish to have such an amazing impact on the world as you have. So that's your daughter, Faith. And then Johnny says that my dad is a servant leader and walks the walk, and boy, can he talk. In word or in deed, my dad prepares to win. My dad has been willing to die for truth. This is why my dad is a hero of mine for time and for eternity. Then we have Hank. You are my hero because of your love for Christ. That is the mark of your true greatness and the infinite weight of your glory. If you can't keep track of these people, there's a lot of them, I'm sorry. I have 11 siblings. So this is not a sibling, but he might as well be a brother to my dad. Stephen, who sits by my dad all the time helping him out. On your birthday, dear brother Hank, I reiterate and absolutely believe with you that the word of the psalmist were offered to you by our gracious Lord Jesus Christ, for you shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Mm. I, my dad's favorite daughter, just kidding, what I said to him was, I love you so much, Dad. You will make it through this. Remember that Christ is glorified both in your strength and weakness. Remember to lean on him as your strength and shield. David, who has been the impetus behind my dad's social media kick, says, the older I get, the more appreciative I become of celebrating the gift of another year experiencing the wondrous world the Lord has given us. It's not always easy, life, but it's always worth it. You're going through a time in the wilderness, but the Lord is pruning you. It's been a blessing to work beside you over the past couple of months. I learn from you every day, and I can honestly say that if you never sold another book, went off air, and CRI ceased to exist, I wouldn't care. The choice you made and the example that you set for me and the rest of my family to stand for truth and convictions is without a price. Thank you.
We could go on the whole program, I suppose. There's one that was really funny.
Okay.
And that was Paul Stephen, but we decided, you asked me if you could read that on air, and I absolutely nixed it, but it was hilarious. he's our comedian, and he read his birthday wish to me out loud, and we were falling over, I mean, slap silly laughing. We just couldn't get it together. It was hilarious. But we had a great time together. Let's not go through all of them, but we had a great time together. And I thank my extended family as well for the cards, the letters, the well wishes. We do what we do because life and truth matter. I don't think that any person needs to be raised up or glorified in any way, but we can celebrate the Lord in all of our lives. And I think that's what I appreciated most, Christina, about what Kathy and what the kids wrote to me. It was that the biggest mark for them was Jesus Christ, the relationship with Jesus Christ, the opportunity to extend his kingdom, not only for time, but also for eternity.
Yes, and that's one of the things I've been the most proud of you for, is teaching me how to seek Christ and how to show who he is and who he reveals himself as through scripture to other people. And I think that's really important, and I'm really grateful that people on the air get to hear what you get to tell me every day.
Well, we have a lot of people that write us and call us in various ways. They want their questions answered, and of course, we do that live on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but we also get so many questions in through Twitter, through Facebook, through email. So the social media platforms have become increasingly important to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. One of the most important things I do on a weekly basis is my podcast now. And you can subscribe to the podcast at iTunes. You can find the podcast at equip.org. Wherever you consume your favorite podcasts, we have made a concerted effort to use all the digital media platforms for God's glory and for the extension of his kingdom. Just before I came into the studio, I did a Skype interview for a person who was associated with Russian Orthodoxy so that I could give my perspective, my answers, my testimony. And so God gives us these many different ways in which we can testify to his goodness and his glory and his grace. And if ever there was a time in which this kind of testimony is necessary, that time is now. I think about Jim, who recently wrote me the following: the Methodist Church will be voting whether to allow gay pastors and leadership in our conference. I think this issue will split the church, as it appears that the church is moving away from the Bible's teaching. I'm torn between leaving and looking for a new church or staying and going along with the conference decision. What do you feel is the Bible's guidance on this issue? And this, Christina, is a very, very difficult question to answer. Sometimes it is God's will that you stay and try to affect change from within. If everybody leaves, change will not occur. The slippery slope will continue to become more slippery. Sometimes, for the health of your family and for your own testimony, it's worthwhile to find a healthy, well-balanced church. And again, I can't answer that question for anyone. That's a question you have to answer before the Lord. The primary objective for me, however, would be to find a healthy, well-balanced church, a church in which God is worshipped in spirit and in truth, through word and through sacrament, a church in which people experience oneness, not like marbles bouncing off one another in an empty cathedral, but experience true oneness. A church in which you're also equipped to go out and impact the world. And it means that there's education that takes place. I've often said that the real issue is not evangelism, it is equipping for evangelism, because if Christians are truly equipped to share the truth, the love, the grace that only our wonderful Redeemer can bring to the human life, if they're equipped to do that, God will give them all kinds of opportunities to be witnesses for His sake. As far as the Methodist Church allowing gay pastors and leadership in the conference, the issue here for me is a matter of whose authority is the authority. And I fear that all too often, and this is becoming a trend within churches, all too often it is no longer the Bible that is the objective authority, it is the church. And in this case, you have a church voting, making a vote to say, this is what we're going to do, as opposed to reading the Bible and saying, these are the parameters that God sets forth for us to live within. And if we don't live within those parameters, there will be a price to pay. Again, not because God is capricious, not because God is, well, we have this picture sometimes of a mean God waiting to strike those who disobey, although in some cases that is necessary for the good of humanity. I can't ever question God's decisions, because His decisions come out of perfect love and perfect judgment, and therefore I'm in no place to cast a judgment in that particular vein. But the fact of the matter is, God puts these rules, these laws around us so that we will be protected. And one of the scariest things for me is that we are capitulating to the culture. The culture has an iron boot. It wants us to go in a particular direction. And now we have ratified same-sex marriage, not only in the culture, but oftentimes in the church. Well, sociological metrics let us know that there is a consequence to that for the family. Gender-differentiated parenting really does matter. You can't trifle with natural law. And now we're on the way to accepting gender fluidity, as though biology no longer matters. And when people engage in these kinds of activities in the world, it is one thing, but it is quite another when they engage in these kinds of activities in the church. Now, the church is a hospital for sick people, which is to say that the only requirement is to be willing to turn and follow Jesus Christ, to embrace His precepts and principles for your life. So this is not to say that those who have hang-ups, whether sexual or otherwise, can't come to the hospital. Of course they can come to the hospital. That's the very place they need to be. But there has to be a willingness to follow Christ. And when you have shepherds now saying that the Bible is no longer a reliable authority, I am now going to be the authority that sets myself over and above that authority, chaos will ensue. The Bible is crystal clear respecting gender-bending activities. But nonetheless, we should never have a we-they siege mentality. Christians must commit themselves to being salt and light and do so with gentleness and with respect. And we must never yield our consciences to the subtle lure of political correctness, either in the church or in the culture. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads. This film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive your copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads, this film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. In in a brilliantly produced documentary film on DVD from the Discovery Institute titled Revolutionary, Professor Michael Behe, a distinguished biochemist and recognized leader in the intelligent design movement, pokes serious holes in Darwinism with trailblazing insights into irreducible complexity. You might be asking, what is irreducible complexity? It is a concept clearly explained in Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This DVD will show you exactly why Darwin's theory is well past its prime. To receive a copy of the DVD, Revolutionary, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and also do remember the book Darwin's House of Cards by Tom Bethel. This is a fantastic book. I have been promoting it all month long, and I'm happy to do that. I wrote my own book on this subject called The Farce of Evolution. In fact, the father of the intelligent design movement wrote the foreword to the book. So I could be simply promoting my own book here, which I think is well worth getting. But every now and then I find these books that I just want to put into the hands of believers. And this is one of those books. And even if you're not a believer, maybe especially if you're not a believer, I want to put this book into your hands as well. Obviously, those who support the ministry, I send this book out to you as a way of saying thank you for your support. So many things that are said in this book are stunning. For example, the fact that we're repeatedly told that the intelligent design movement can't be right because Darwinian evolution is a fact, but we can search in vain for facts that establish the truth of the theory. Well, let's look at natural selection. Can natural selection create? No, it cannot create new species. Instead, it works in the Darwinian mind as a magic wand that makes problems disappear as easily as a magician's props. Another delicious part of the book, Darwin's House of Cards by Tom Bethel, available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go to Brian in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I got a couple of questions. The first one would be, in Genesis, where the scripture talks about the spirit hovering over waters, is that just poetic in nature, or is that talking about literal water? And the second question would be, outside of the sinner's prayer, is there any evidence that God answers an unbeliever's prayer? Thank you for taking my call, and I'll listen to you offline.
Sure, yeah. And if you read the book of Genesis, what's fascinating is that you do have a historical narrative pointing to the fact that God really does create. But there are anthropomorphisms that are interlaced with the narrative, such that you have God walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, or you have the Spirit hovering. Now, are the waters real? Of course they are. But the anthropomorphisms are necessary because we need God to speak in the way that a human being can attain to. And if God does not speak in that way, then we most certainly will not get the message. And we want to get the message, so we have to learn the art and science of biblical interpretation. We have to learn to read the Bible as literature. And that's the genius of Genesis. I mean, I love Genesis, and I guess I could go on and on about Genesis. And I know you had another question. I forget what the question was. Did anybody... The second part of the question was, does God hear the sinner's prayer, right?
Does he listen to an unbeliever's prayer?
Does he listen to an unbeliever's prayer? Well, if an unbeliever calls out to him, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, God hears that prayer and he answers that prayer. But obviously, unbelievers, by definition, don't call out to God, because they don't care about God. They don't believe in the first place. So in some sense, it's a hypothetical question. But if an unbeliever calls out to God, God hears the prayer. How he responds to someone who is living in disbelief is another question altogether. The beautiful thing is that in our family situation, if one of my kids comes to me and they want something, I can evaluate that and determine what's best for one of my kids and then answer appropriately. And I don't always do that perfectly. But God always does do that perfectly. So my sense of it is that, yes, God certainly hears all that goes on. He knows all that goes on. He is waiting for those who are in death to turn to life. And when they do, God is delighted, because as the scriptures so clearly communicate, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they should live. And again, we live when we no longer want to conduct our lives according to the dictates of our own will, but we turn and follow Him. And He becomes Savior and Lord of our life. I don't want to belabor this too much, but I think it's worthwhile to do this at this point in relationship to Brian's question. I oftentimes feel that people negate in their minds, or they're completely unaware of, the genius of Genesis. It is a literary masterpiece. And you simply cannot overstate its elegance. The writer Moses writes with inspired brilliance. And again, as I told Brian, what we have here is a historical narrative that is interlaced with both symbolism as well as repetitive poetic structure. And not only so, but Moses, in the most poignant fashion imaginable, employs the powerful elements of story. What I mean by that is there are characters, and there's plot, and there's tension, and there's resolution. And all of this is necessary because it sets the foundation for the rest of redemptive revelation. So think about the very chapter that references the fall. It's also recording the plan for restoration of fellowship. Of course, a plan that takes on definition with God's promise to make Abram, notice the four letters, A-B-R-A-M, I guess that's five, to make Abram a great nation through which all peoples on earth will be blessed. And even in that is a powerful lesson. Abram's call most certainly was the divine antidote to Adam's fall, but this is but a glimpse of the author's genius. Genesis is forged so that its main message is as easy to remember as it is to recall. And so you have Abram becoming Abraham, and the explanation given that he is going to be not the father of a nation, but the father of many nations. And later on, putting the magnifying glass in the hands of the New Testament writers, we recognize that Jesus is the royal seed of Abraham. In other words, Abraham only has one seed, And then the explanation. If you are in Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. And there's no equivocation. Gender doesn't matter. Whether you're male or female makes no difference. Your station in life does not matter. Whether you're a king or a queen, or you're a person on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder, if you are in Christ, you are part of the royal seed of Abraham. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek. So gender doesn't matter, nor does genealogy. If you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham, and you are an heir according to the promise. Now, if people would just understand that part of it, they would never again try to tie true Israel to some genealogical construction, which ultimately led to its logical conclusion would exclude many, many people, including Rahab and Ruth. Both would not fit the genealogy, and yet we find them in the lineage of Jesus Christ. But there's so many other things that could be pointed to, and among those things is the fact that Genesis opens with a literary mnemonic. Mnemonics is the art and science of memory. And through this, we are daily reminded of God's creative prowess. The first 6 days outline a hierarchy of creation, all of that culminating in the crowning jewels of God's creation, humankind. And then on the seventh day, the Creator in whom we ultimately find our Sabbath, He rests. Now, again, you can't take that in a wooden literalistic sense because God doesn't get tired. But the history of creation is remembered and recalled through this mnemonic. This mnemonic is an association, a way of remembering God's creative prowess with the continuous seven-day cycle of life. And there's such beauty in Genesis that I could just keep going, because the rest of Genesis is structured in a way that it can be remembered using our 10 fingers. With one hand, we recall primeval history, the accounts of the heavens and the earth. With the other hand, we remember the accounts of the patriarchs. So Genesis is a work of genius. Obviously, Moses was inspired by God. But those who oftentimes carp about Genesis have never really learned the art and science of biblical interpretation. Remember, it's an art in that the more you do it, the better you get at it. It's a science in that rules apply. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, as well as the quote of the day. You're going to love it. We'll be right back. Please don't touch that dial.
Are you ready to join the revolution? The DVD Revolutionary documents the journey of biochemist Michael Behe as he challenges the scientific establishment on new discoveries illuminating the limitations of Darwinism. Learn what led Dr. Behe to his famous discoveries, how those opposed to his ideas tried to kill them in court, how Behe's ideas have been vindicated by science during the past decade, and how his ideas have led to a growing movement for a new approach to biology. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after this. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads. This film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. In this case, the revolution has been televised. Revolutionary tells the story of Michael Behe's transformation from mild-mannered biochemist to orthodoxy-challenging revolutionary. It also explores the rise of the broader intelligent design movement in biology, the attempt to silence supporters of intelligent design in federal court, and the eventual vindication of the ideas of Professor Behe and others during the last decade. It's time to think critically and stand up to the unscientific status quo. Are you ready to join Michael Behe and be a revolutionary? To receive your copy of the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And to wax eloquent about the genius of Genesis is necessary, because if Genesis is not reliable, if the foundation is cracked, the superstructure is bound to fall. And so I hope everyone gets some kind of a sense of my passion for learning to read the book of Genesis in the sense in which it is intended. The quote of the day comes from Francis Crick, a molecular biologist, a neuroscientist, by the way, the co-discoverer of DNA, the DNA molecule's double helix structure. So Francis Crick, what did he say? Well, this quote is found in Tom Bethel's Darwin's House of Cards. And here it is. Your joys and your sorrows, your memories and your ambitions, your sense of personal identity and free will are, in fact, no more than the behavior of a vast assembly of nerve cells and their associated molecules. You're nothing but a pack of neurons. Imagine that, Christina. You are nothing but a pack of neurons. No such thing as real personal identity. No such thing as free will. All you are is a function of the behavior of a vast assembly of nerve cells and molecules. If you believe that, then you're going to live a completely different life than if you know that you're created in the imago Dei, the image and likeness of God, and accountable to Him.
This is a very important point. I remember a media blow up about a kid. You know, when you're taking care of kids, I was just with my Aunt Donna. We took the kids to the zoo. You look away for 1 second and your kid could be in the dirt, rubbing dirt all over herself. It's really hard when you have a lot of kids that you're watching. We had this incident with the monkey Harambe. A kid falls into, gorilla. She falls into the enclosure and people are asking whether or not it was right to shoot the animal. And my automatic instinct is, of course it is. But if you have Darwinian...
Because you're saying that the animal is now a danger to the child?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, because the animal is a danger to a child. But if it's Darwinian evolution, if what he's saying is really true, then we have to put them on an equal scale. But that's not when the child is made in the image of God. Of course, you automatically shoot that gorilla. But some people were even putting that in question. So I think that, like you say, ideas have consequences and we really need to wrestle through these things because if that person didn't shoot that gorilla, there's a chance that he could have killed that child. And then people start blaming the mother because she looked away and all of these other things where it's just like, oh my goodness, you should protect the child at all costs and don't blame the mom. Sometimes it's hard to keep track of your kids.
You can say that as one of the siblings.
I got lost a lot of times.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Karen in Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Whoops, Karen, did you just disappear on me? I was just going to Karen, and she disappeared. Eddie, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Sirius XM 130.
Hello,
Hank. Hey, Eddie.
How are you? My name is Eddie Copeland, and I'm out here in Oklahoma City. I just wanted to ask a question about women in the position of pastor, according to the text where it says, I forbid a woman that she should not teach or have authority over men, which, you know, brings so many different arguments in the various churches. What is your feed on that, sir?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think that the basic principle here that's inviolate is that if a woman has the gift of teaching, she needs to use that gift. And if she does not use that gift, then she is in sin. So you have to use the gifts that God has given to you. Failure to do so is an affront to the very one who designed you and gave you those gifts. But the second thing I would say about this is that certainly there's a hierarchy that God has established in relationships. So this is not a matter of ontology. It is not a matter of the worth of a person, but rather it is a matter of the role of a person. And so if you're not trying to be innovative, if you're simply following the principles and precepts in the Judeo-Christian tradition, you find that there are no female priests, and there were some reasons for that in the culture, understandably so. But you follow that chain along, and you see that this is the same thing with respect to the Old Testament hierarchy and the 12 disciples. although Christ had many others in his inner circle. Through that, we see that he raised women to the status of men in a culture in which women were considered to be chattel, oftentimes, the mere property of men. But you follow the principles and precepts, the precedent, as it were, set in Scripture, and you do not have women in certain positions, but sometimes that's then taken and extrapolated in such a way that people say that women cannot teach, and or teach men, or teach in the church. And I don't see any valid reason for following that rule, that principle, or that precept, because in this case, I think it's vain philosophy. It is the philosophy of human beings as opposed to being that which we are taught by precept, principle, and precedent in the Word of God. Now, there are a lot of people that take words from the Bible and they take those words and they misconstrue them. For example, these words by the Apostle Paul are frequently used to denigrate the Bible as sexist. Paul said, and a lot of people have memorized, if they've never memorized anything else, they memorize this, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner." The criticism that Paul's teaching is sexist is silent the moment you give a careful examination of the passage. And when you do, you see a number of things that jump out at you. Paul obviously did not intend to say that women must always be silent in the church, because if he had intended to say that, he would not have given women instructions on how to pray or prophesy publicly in church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But I think there's a further point, and that is, alluding to Eve's deception in the garden, Paul underscored how crucial it is that women, like men, first involve themselves in learning before they involve themselves in teaching. Because far from chastising Eve for her role in the fall, Paul chastised the Jewish men of his day for excluding women from learning in the first place, and therefore leaving them vulnerable to deception. So just as Adam was responsible for failing to protect Eve from deception, so too the men of Paul's days would be held responsible if they hindered women from studying and growing in the faith. And I did allude to this a little bit earlier, but Paul's words refute the matriarchal authoritarianism practiced by pagan cults of his day. Much more could be said. I've written about this in various places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Back to the phone lines, Alex, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Alex.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
I'm doing good.
I have a question regarding Genesis. It's something that I've always wondered, and that is, in Genesis, do you believe that creation described as being accomplished in 7 days, is that literal? Does it mean seven 24-hour days, or could that be 7,000 years or millions of years? I was just interested in your thoughts.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is that the actual language connotes seven literal days, which is to say that yom preceded by a numeral, typically, if you read Scripture in light of Scripture, means a 24-hour period of time. So were they literal days? The answer is absolutely, they were literal days. But, and this is a huge but, this is not to communicate that it took God 24 hours to do anything. The idea of the literal 24-hour days, or that we might be able to remember God's creative prowess during the normal cycle of living. So, once again, Moses is giving us a mnemonic. These are literal days, but these days are given to us in such a way that we're remembering God's creation during the normal cycle of living. This gets back to what I was talking about earlier, and that is the mnemonics that are used. Moses is wanting us not only to hear, but he is wanting us to remember. And what you have here is 6 days outlining a hierarchy of creation culminating in humanity as the crowning jewel on the seventh day, the Creator in whom we ultimately find our Sabbath rest. And this has implications for us today. Why do we worship on the first day of the week? Because, as Paul says, it is in Christ that we have our Sabbath rest. I've written about this in a book called The Creation Answer Book. It is available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. For all those who support the ministry, I do want to invite those who are supporting the ministry to also consider joining CRI's monthly support team. When you do it, be pleased to personalize a book to you, a family member, or a friend, any one of my books. You can check this out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We are unfortunately out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be right back here tomorrow with more of the show. Look forward to seeing you then.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads. This film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.